and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And I'm Jen, and today we're going to talk about missions trips part two. So stay tuned. It's only been 7 days since the last show, and so you might be doing some math in your head and going, didn't Carrie just leave on a missions trip for 10 days? And yet here she is back again 7 days later.
I time traveled.
Which would be so cool. So what we did, we pre-recorded the show, and so it actually has been a couple of weeks since Carrie has gone on her missions trip to Nicaragua. And so we thought we would take today's show to ask some questions about how the trip went, and actually touch on a few more things that we feel are important to discuss with regards to missions trips.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carrie.
Jen.
I'm so glad she's back.
Me too.
Tell us a little bit about, well, I always like to say the good, the bad, and the ugly. So,
okay.
Let's start off with, what were some of the really cool highlights that took place on your trip to, on your missions trip to Nicaragua?
Okay, so one amazing thing was that we were a team of physicians, nurses, pharmacists, different volunteers from all over Canada, and we all came together, about 13 of us. And so we'd never met each other. Excuse me, I only knew the pharmacist and one of the coordinators. And yet we were able to come together and work together and run a clinic for 10 days. So that was really neat. You know, people coming together with the same goal and just making it happen. We saw about 330 people,
okay,
with a variety of different health concerns, diabetes, high blood pressure, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Not really critical, but no, it was really good. I feel I learned also more about the Nicaraguan culture and gave me perspective on just how thankful I am for the healthcare that we receive here, for different aspects of our free country that we are just so blessed to enjoy. One of the Nicaraguan people are so beautiful inside and out, just very gracious, very kind. And I do feel like they're working to make their country better. And yeah, they genuinely were receptive to having us come, which is really amazing. So one of the things I learned was that the Nicaraguan government says, yes, there's universal health care, but they only say that because they have built a clinic in small towns,
okay,
but it's only a building. There's no health care staff.
Oh.
There's no medical supplies. There's no medication. It is an empty building. But because it's there, the government says, well, we have universal health care because there it is.
Which explains then why you took a box of medication down with you. Because I was thinking, like, can you even get this across the border?
Yeah.
Like, why are you taking this medication down there? Is it because, you know, it's too expensive? But with what you just said, it's not even available.
It's an access issue.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless you're from one of the larger cities and then you have access at pharmacies. But it's quite expensive. So that was interesting to learn about and get a better idea of how the cultures are different. Also, it was good just to spend time with some of the people that I had already known, went down with some friends.
Right.
And we were able to have discussions in the mornings about different questions about life, like where did we come from, what's our purpose. So it was really interesting to hear different people's ideas on those questions, and these are coming from people who don't share the same faith. So I thought that was very, very interesting.
So not everybody that went with you has a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay, so that puts a whole different spin on missions trip. And so while you might be going, yes, as a nurse to share your skills, you also have, I want to say, almost like a greater mandate. Like, you're coming to bring health with your hands, but you also are coming to bring health spiritually.
Yeah.
And yet you have people on the team that is not their mandate.
Yeah. And I don't want to negate the fact that they were coming because they genuinely wanted to help and they were bringing their skills. So yay.
Yes, definitely.
But if we just say to someone, you know, go keep warm and well fed, and we don't provide for their physical needs, that's not right either.
Right.
But if we're not providing the good news about Jesus, mm-hmm. that has eternal implications and that speaks to, you know, you may be in poverty, and yes, we will help with that, but you are not your situation. Your identity doesn't come from your country. It doesn't come from your financial status, doesn't come from your occupation. It comes from knowing Christ and that he has purchased you and that you can be a child of God. That is good news.
Right.
So I guess I struggled with that, the fact that we're bringing this medical treatment, but sometimes because not everyone shared the same faith, it was in the absence of sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. But we're also part of an organization where they regularly have programs where people can come in and hear about Christ.
Okay.
So this was just an adjunct. The medical piece is an adjunct to the programs that are offered through that ministry. So I felt better about that. Something interesting I kind of learned coming back home, Jen, when I was kind of like, oh, you know, maybe that wasn't what I thought it would be, because I thought there'd be more opportunities to maybe pray with people, or why did this happen, and why couldn't, you know, why couldn't there be a time where we could, like, be more focused about sharing Christ with people?
Right.
And then I'm like, what? Christ lives in me. The Holy Spirit's in me. Where I go,
yes,
I bring light and life and truth. So I can't be dependent on other people to do that for me. You have to make a decision to actually go and do that.
Right.
And trust that God, through the Holy Spirit in you, is going to be a light and a witness to other people. So I was waiting for other people to stand up and
you know,
set the environment that was appropriate to share Christ. But no, we're called to go and just do that wherever we are, whether it's at work or...
Well, and the passage that it brings to mind is from Matthew 26, where it says, "Then the king will say to the people on his right, 'Come, my father has given you his blessing. Receive the kingdom God has prepared for you since the world was made. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home, and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes, and you gave me something to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the good people will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you alone and away from home and invite you into our house? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and care for you?' Then the king will answer, 'I tell you the truth, anything you did for even the least of my people here, you also did for me.'" But that whole idea of these people have needs, and even though you might not be speaking the gospel out, like you said, the Spirit of the living God is inside of you. So the mere fact that you are coming in and you are ministering to these needs, and it's very clear, like, what you have done to the least of these, you have done to me. So I think we can get frustrated with the, "I didn't talk about Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the good news is simply that, good news. So there is something vocal about it, but when you don't have a chance to use words,
yeah,
is the countenance on your face kind and welcoming? Is the way that you care for someone, you know, welcoming? When you see someone who has a need, do you actually meet the need, right? Okay, that person is thirsty. They need a drink of water, you know?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we can just
get caught up that it has to be a prescribed way of being a Christian. And that's not right either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we also talked about how you need to go and be, because sometimes the only gospel that people are going to read is going to be the life that you're going to live in front of them. And we were talking one morning about that, and I had just read about Zacchaeus, and how Jesus was walking along and saw Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus saw him. And this is in Luke. And Zacchaeus was short, and he was a tax collector, and he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus. Well, when Jesus got there, then he called him down and said, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to eat with you. And so Zacchaeus then said, Lord, he repented, essentially, and turned from what he knew was wrong. He wasn't going to skim off the top when he was collecting taxes anymore.
Yeah.
He knew the Old Testament because he said, you know, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to repay fourfold. And that's in the Old Testament. And I just think it's amazing because Jesus didn't actually say, Zacchaeus, you're a tax collector. You need to repent. It was his presence. Zacchaeus had heard about him and wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, well, you know, sometimes our job isn't to go and say, well, you're in this situation, you're in that situation, like, turn to Christ. That's true. And sometimes we need to say that.
Yeah.
People have done that for me in my life.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just got to live it out, I guess.
Well, when I was in Cambodia, we were going through the hills of Sapa. Mm-hmm. And it was a hard, hard, hard road. And I wasn't in great shape. So I'm huffing and puffing, and I'm really frustrated because this wasn't this part I hadn't necessarily signed up for, right?
The hike.
And the hike, the three-day hike through the mountains of Sapa, and yes, after very little sleep. And so our team leader, who is a good friend of mine, Jim Snyder, he's whistling and singing, and really all I wanted to do with Jim at that point in time...
The cheese grater.
The cheese grater. I wanted to run a cheese grater. I know. I've changed my ways. Anyways, and at one point I'm like, Jim, really? Like, whistling? Like, this is not fun. And he said, Jen, even when our heart is not in it or things are really tough, as a leader, you need to set the example. And I was like, I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
that's
that was
important.
Like, and this was a young man. Like, he was younger than I was. In fact, I've babysat him when he was younger.
Okay.
And here he was setting this example of,
yeah.
And that's what, it's like the light that shines through us, right? Like, he wasn't saying, well, you know, as followers of Jesus, we're called. He was like, no, as a leader, we actually need to set the example. And I know that he was getting his strength from the Lord.
Yeah.
And because we also had people who, you know, weren't in relationship with Jesus on the trip.
Yeah.
So if he started complaining, then what was that going to say to the rest of the team? And so I really struggled in that moment to say, man, you're right. Like, even though we're in a mixed team as far as faith in Christ goes, it really is the Spirit of the living God living in us and coming out that's going to help us make the most of the opportunities that we find ourselves in, the situations. So
yeah, that's so true. But I take heart in the verse that says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to act according to his good purpose. So the Holy Spirit in you can give you the will, the desire to honor him,
yes.
And then the ability to act. Another verse says that we have everything we need for life and godliness, everything we need to reflect the image of Christ,
mm-hmm.
because we're being made new every day. And there's another verse that says, you know, though the outward man is wasting away, the inward man is being renewed day by day in the image of our Creator. So, yay, God. And you know what's cool about that, Jen? Is you were able to receive that word from Jim.
Yeah.
And then take it and move on.
Yeah.
And that's the grace of God, too. It's like, we don't have to dwell on what we weren't doing.
No.
We can just carry on and
yes,
take another step.
Because it's new every day.
That's right.
Yay, God. Yay, God. And so we also talked a little bit about some of the, well, we've touched a little bit on, like, not the highlights.
Yeah.
The negative things that happened on our trip. And one of them is when you go with people who are not like-minded, it can be difficult. And I know on my one trip to Cambodia, it was difficult because people just weren't on the same page. Their hearts were in it as far as
the desire to serve.
Yeah. But as far as talking about Jesus, then it just, that was a frustration because it was like, oh, okay, like we're like two totally different mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we actually do this together.
Yeah, I was on one trip and a patient came in who was actually suicidal, and they just, you know, basically gave her some strategies for, you know, coping with stress and right. and meditation, and like, oh man, when we're desperate, that's when God wants to meet us and yes. give us new life and hope in Christ. And I just felt like there was a really dichotomy of, I don't know, what the experience, I thought the experience was versus yes. what it could be mm-hmm. In that one instance, but I'm going to, you know, take that and learn from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we also kind of discussed that sometimes when you go on a mission trip, there's other things that might be unpleasant, or if you go to a different culture or even to someone's home.
Yes.
Right? That there might be things that you have to overcome. For food, for example.
Yes.
I mean, I love Nicaraguan food. I love Central American food and Caribbean food. But pretend you didn't. That would be hard. Isn't there a verse that says, eat what's set before you?
Yes, actually. You are to eat whatever is set before you. And I've had to actually adopt that verse. Like, just live
it. Because you're a pastor. So she gets invited to people's houses all the time for dinner. And sometimes I get to cash in on that as her, like, bring a friend.
Yes, and everyone here that I've ever had a meal at is perfectly fine. Yeah, they're all good. But yes, I've had to eat whatever is put before me because out of respect for the people that are giving it. So when we were in Sherbrooke, Quebec, and so it was an African food meal that they were preparing for us, I was like, what is that? And I'm like, either you eat it or you go hungry. And you run the risk of offending them.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
And then when we were in Cambodia, so we did a week in Vietnam first, and I remember them bringing the food, and it'd be like fish with the head still on it.
Looking at you.
And so I couldn't figure out why the kids that came with us, why were they always ordering French fries and spring rolls? That's all they ordered. And I figured out because that was comfort food. Like, they knew what it was. And I really struggled. Like, by the end of the first week, I wanted to go home. Like,
really?
I still have 2 more weeks left to go. Because I was finding comfort in my food rather than comfort in the Lord. And that's, it was after that trip and some other experiences, I really, that whole verse of eat whatever is put in front of you. So now when I say the blessing, dear Lord, thank you for this food. In the hands of a prayer, help me to be truly thankful. Like, help me to be genuinely thankful for the food that I'm eating and use it for your honor and glory. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I have found that has made the biggest difference.
Because, really?
Yeah, when you're...
It helps you to like it.
It has helped me. Very rarely will I sit down now to a meal that I do not like. And I went from very picky, picky, picky eater to surrendering that to the Lord.
Really?
And he has totally changed. Yeah. My eating habits.
That's why you don't complain about my cooking.
It's good cooking. It's only twice. And we both agreed on those meals.
So she's like, help me be truly, truly thankful. And
yes.
not get ill.
Yes. usually the food is something we struggle with. But also sometimes the cleanliness
sure.
of places. And we say that because sometimes there are bugs.
They're large.
Yes.
Tarantulas. Yeah.
And cockroaches. And I remember sitting down to a meal in Vietnam and seeing cockroaches run across the back of a chair. And I'm like, ah! And it can put you off. Like, if you feel that God has genuinely called you somewhere, and then all of a sudden you find yourself struggling with food, bugs. And in Cambodia, in Vietnam, we had squatties. So we didn't even have a toilet to go on. And I'm thinking, I don't even like, I'm quite comfortable with the toilet. Quite comfortable. And so now to have to do your business over a squatty, and there may or may not be toilet paper, it was just totally mind-blowing for me.
Yeah, and I think maybe we'd like to think that we're not, I don't know. For those listening on podcasts.
Like snooty or like... Oh no, we can go with the flow. But when those things, food, cleanliness, toilets, when they're taken away from us,
you gotta deal with it. And that's not something that God can't help you with.
I agree.
And when you go to people's houses, One of the cool things we did talk about on the trip was about the character of Jesus and how people wanted to be around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he hung out with people that, you know, the religious leaders were like, what are you doing with these sinners? This is crazy. Prostitutes, tax collectors. Like, tax collectors were on the bottom of the list. They were, you know, sometimes Jewish people who had joined with the Roman occupation, and then they were working for them, but also skimming off the top. So they were stealing from their own people, and they were really looked down upon.
Yeah.
But they were totally comfortable with Jesus. And I think, like, wherever he went, in whoever's home, he was, because he knew that he is the salvation of the world. He's bringing the good news, and he loved them. And so I just pray that God helps me to see people and love them and see them as they really are in his eyes, and then be comfortable in the situation, because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we've talked about, the purpose of missions trips. And we're hoping, hopefully, in the weeks to come, we'll have someone come in and discuss that with us. Because it's not always for the people that you're going. Sometimes God actually asks you to go on a mission trip because he wants to do something in your own heart. He wants to change a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to change your heart. He wants you to call on him, rely on him for things.
Yeah.
And I would say in my experience, in my mission trips, I have been changed.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I've gone and helped people, but I have been changed.
Yeah.
My mindsets have been changed. I have grown in my relationship with God. And so I guess we want to challenge you today to say, okay, simply ask the Lord, what mission field do you have for me? Even say this year, you know, like, cause maybe your mission field is work. Like, God wants you to pour into the people at work.
Yeah.
If you go to school, maybe God wants you to pour into the mission at school. Or maybe it's your neighborhood. Like, maybe he actually is calling you to your neighborhood to actually build relationships with people in your neighborhood. Or maybe your mission field is your church, which sounds kind of weird. But maybe God's calling you for a season to pour into a ministry at church. Or maybe he is saying, no, I want you to go, like, our big city is Toronto. So maybe he wants us to go to Toronto to do, to work with some of the inner city people there. Or maybe he could be calling you to beyond, whether it's Nicaragua, Dominican, somewhere in South America or Africa. But to ask the Lord, what mission do you have for me this year? And one of the things that we talk about, it could be sponsoring a missionary.
Yeah.
I have friends that are in the mission field that aren't just, you know, over in Africa, but are actually right here
in Toronto.
In Toronto.
Yeah. And yes, and this couple, they work with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and they are partnering with local high schools to reach the kids there.
Yeah.
So that might be something that you want to do if you don't want to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Then if you want to invest in someone else's ability to go. Another great opportunity is through sponsoring a child.
Mm-hmm.
We both support Compassion Canada, and the website will appear here. Amazing organization. I hope to be able to talk about it maybe on another show, but that's an opportunity where you can sponsor a child. And they support the local church that's there. So it's actually local people working in developing areas to help the children get access to education, health care. They hear the gospel, and they're actually changing their families' lives. Kids are learning to read within the projects. Then they're coming back and they're teaching their families to read, and then parents are able to go get jobs. It's amazing. So if that's something that you want to invest in, that's an awesome opportunity. Yeah.
And so all of this is like, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do?
Yeah.
Because it's not, that passage from Matthew is like, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And we recognize that not everyone can pick up and go to Ghana. Like, it's actually, you might have the $2,500 to go to Ghana. And yet they will stand there and look at you and say, why didn't you just send the $2,500 and we could have built a church, right? For the same amount. And so that's why it's so important to ask the Lord,
what do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do? What is the mission field that you have? And sometimes he'll say, I want you to go. And sometimes he's like, well, no, I want you to stay and I want you to support.
Yeah.
So we really encourage you. And we're gonna it's around that time. So we're going to pray. And that's our prayer for you today, that you would be open to what it is that the Lord has for you. And recognizing that some of that time, if you go on a trip, will be amazing. And then some things you're going to struggle with. But being aware of the fact that the good, the bad, the ugly is going to happen on the mission trip. But are you going to trust in the fact that God has called you to do that? So,
and at the end of the day, it's about Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what He's doing. It's about turning people to Him.
Amen.
All right, let's pray.
Yeah.
Father, thank you so much that we were able to talk about this and things that you're doing all over the world. Thank you so much for bringing me and the team home safely.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pray for our viewers and those listening that they would be inspired to go out and share with other people the good news of Jesus Christ and all that you've done for us. Lord, if it's to support a missionary or to maybe sponsor a child, I just pray that people would listen to you. And may our hearts be open to hear what you have to say. Thank you for all that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We want to thank Category 5 TV
mm-hmm.
For hosting this show. And you can go to our website, neweveryday.tv. And we also want to thank Eco Alkalines. They are a carbon neutral battery that powers our cameras and microphones. We just want to say thanks for that. And we hope that you will join us next week.
But if you don't join us next week live, maybe you want to turn into Stitcher app.
Yeah.
It's an online app. I'm not really sure how apps work. But basically, download it on your phone and it allows you to listen to us offline. Like,
yeah.
Maybe you don't have time to sit in front of your computer, but you commute. So this is a really cool app that allows you to download our show and listen to it wherever you are.
Yeah.
So that's a Stitcher app. All right. Have a great week.
Have a great week.